In the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. When Father was asking about the prophetic word, and during this praising and worshiping the Lord, I really felt I was in the cloud. I could see the anointing of the Lord in this church. And there was a little wife singing, was coming, touching me. Saying, peace, peace. And when I recall my memories, I really went the first time I came here. So I used to greet the people with the shalom. Shalom, 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 oh my friend, shalom, oh my friend, shalom, shalom. I greet you today, I greet you today. Shalom. Peace of Jesus be with you. And once again, I thank God who has made for me to come here. And Bishop Chuck John and Father Mark. I tried to come so many times, but that was my time, not the God's timing for me to come here. And I believe this is God's timing for me to come and just to be with you. There are so many people here who are new to me. But we are really not new to each other. We are one in the Spirit and we are one in the Lord. And we are always, there are people, I'm really thankful I informed them and they are here. So thank you very much for coming here. I didn't expect Father Terry to be here because I was thinking he's still in Europe. But thank you, Father Terry. So my story, I think, I just wanted to tell my friends here, the young people or the new members here. I used to be a Roman Catholic priest. I was born in the Christian family, but my grandfather, he accepted the Lord in 1944. And he was a businessman, he was a Hindu, and he came from India towards this part of India which is known as Pakistan. Here he wanted to get married with a Christian Roman Catholic lady. So there was no mixed marriages that time. So he was converted, he was baptized into Christianity and he became very strong member. But when the other family who were in India, when they heard, so he was excommunicated from the family. So he never went back to that part of India where there were his real, his own family. So he stayed in this part with my father and my father's brother. So later on, my father and his brother was also baptized. When my father got married, that was also with the Christian lady. When I was born in 1951, so they were very strong Christian. And I was sent to the church, like my father used to say, if you are not going to attend the Sunday service, worship service, you are not supposed to have lunch. And that time, we really didn't have breakfast. We just used to go to the church without breakfast. You were not supposed to have before communion. So, I believe God has chosen me from the womb of my mother. Then later on, I became the altar boy. Then I went to the seminary after my FA. FA is the Faculty of Art. The first 2 years after the matriculation or graduation of the high school. So then I stayed in the Roman Catholic Seminary for 8 years, and then I became a priest in 1980. And I was priest. I was really enjoying my life until I was actually sent to an area which was a kind of northwest frontier province, a tribal area. And I was sent for 3 years. But after 3 years, nobody really wanted to replace me there. And I was asking Bishop, this is my time, because my area was, it was very huge area. It covers around 200 miles. And there were like 16 outer stations, three major churches there with a population of like about 3,000 people. And I used to have 3-4 catechists. Catechists were the kind of auxiliary to the father, who used to be a kind of, because before, the local priest came up, before that there were English-speaking priests used to come, and those were the interpreter for those priests. But they were, besides that, they were also doing the catechism or working as the subdeacons, the evangelists. So I used to go to the tribal area. Once it happened, once they come to know about that this is the missionary, so they really don't let anybody go there. When I was exposed to them, so they were after me. Almost, as you heard, I was killed there. And they slit my throat. and still nobody really wanted to replace me there. So after I was healed, recovered, again I was in the same area, but I am a human being, a weak person. So I really didn't want to stay in that area. So I asked Bishop, I said, if nobody is coming to replace me, it's almost like my 8th year here. So please grant me the sabbatical. Sabbatical is after 7 years. So he said, okay, you try, to ask somewhere to the college or the university. So I tried to Boston, the Harvard University, the School of Theology. I got the letter and they just, they gave me the sabbatical. When I was ready, so I saw there was no support to me. So I ran away from there and I came to my spiritual director, which was in another city. And he said, you have got sabbatical, and if there is no support, he helped me a little bit. And he said, if you are not going to the States, America, then go to England. And in England, I had some friends there, Pakistani friend I used to pastor this Pakistani community there. So I came there. Again, I was waiting whether there would be any support for me. Nothing came. So I sent letter back to the bishop. I said, I'd like to get the dispensation from the priesthood. I didn't get any answer because the bishop from my diocese, he was transferred to a archdiocese and he became the archbishop. The new bishop came to replace him in our diocese, in Rawalpindi, Islamabad diocese. So he really didn't care about that. So I was a little bit, I said, okay, I'm not going to be a priest anymore. So I didn't correspond with them again. And I tried to quit the Roman Catholic priesthood. That was from my own part. And then from England, I went back home to Pakistan and I got married. And I just tried to come to the States on my own. So I wrote a letter to the Mercian Orthodox Church, which was in Colorado, and I sent the letter and I got the response of that letter, which was from Alabama, as I call Alabama. And I really didn't know whether there is any state by this name, Alabama. And I was thinking whether this may be somewhere in the Saudi Arabia, one of the cities. So I got really very good letter from that bishop. And he invited me to come here. I came here and he used to live somewhere, I think you may be knowing, somebody may be knowing, and I just went to him and he accepted me. He made me a monsignor and gave me the tonsure only. I was a Roman Catholic priest and he really received me. And then I said, okay, because they didn't have anybody, you know, to serve them. So then I tried to go to New York. I studied there in the chaplaincy program. And then I came to Birmingham, Princeton Medical, Baptist Medical Center in Princeton. And I was working there. So when I was coming here, and my director in the New York University Medical Center, he used to ask me, he said, where you are going? I said, Alabama. He said, no, say Alabama. And I really, it's God, you know. It's God who was bringing me again to serve him. I didn't know that time. I came, I joined my position here, and then I started coming to this church. That time, this church was not it was a bank that time. That was the Episcopal Church. I attended two services, and then, you know, this church was like in transition. So they moved to the Baptist. That was the Baptist chapel. And there I was confirmed, 96. And then 97, I was received in the CEC in Jacksonville, Florida. And when I was received, I really didn't know what to do. And I came and I told the priest, I said, this was Jim Pinto, and I asked him, I said, I really wanted to go back home because I had the burden. And he said, who is going to pay you? Because here you get $3,000-$4,000 salary monthly. We are not supposed to pay you anything except if we could pay some kind of scholarship. And I said, Jesus said, first seek the kingdom and everything shall follow you. I didn't care about the salary or anything. And I just left it. I started churches there from the scratch. But there was more blessing for me here. I really can't forget all of you who give me like morally support, encourage me, financially supported. I was here. And I started building church there. It was not the church building, but I was building the people. And those were the area where I run away from the Taliban, from the terrorists, and still I was going there. And 97, I left it. I left Alabama. I went back to Pakistan. I started my work now I have like 7-8 churches in the different city. And thanks be to God, it was not me, but it was God's plan. And everybody has God's plan, God's purpose, and God gave him position to put into practice. So I just wanted to tell you about this is the place, because Alabama, which I used to say, Allah is like God. In Arabic is Allah, God is in English, in Urdu is Khuda. So it's God's different name. So I believe God wanted to bring me here, and He really anointed me here. Because our people in Pakistan, they really try very hard to come to the States. Everybody likes to come here. But God really, when He calls you, He really provided you with all the things which really you needed. So I went back, and I really wanted to tell you something about the situation in Pakistan. Pakistan is an Islamic country where 97% are Muslim. We are like Christian. We are, the Christian are like 2% of the population. And the population of Pakistan is more than half of United States population. And the land is like maybe one state like Texas or maybe California. So it is a dense populated area there. We are among the minority. We are a tiny church there. But God has purpose in our life to serve Him and to serve His people. I have a family with one wife, four children, two sons and two daughters, and two of my daughters are serving in U.S. Army. One is a sergeant and the other is in the basic combat training, boot camp. And she is going to be graduated from there in July, 3rd of July, and then she is going to be IT specialist, going to Georgia. And thanks be to God, my son, the older son is like 24 years old, and he is doing this welding course. My other son, Noel, who is with me, his name is Noel James. And James was after Father Jim Pinter. His name was given James. And he is here now. he celebrated his 16th birthday last Sunday. So pray for him. Last year we celebrated our 25th anniversary of our wedding. Thanks be to God that He kept us faithful in our married life and committed to serving His people in the pastoral field. God has shown us light through our life. Sometimes very challenging in the place where we continue to serve, but we will serve and be good example to other nations. We keep harvesting success by working in His vineyard to further His kingdom. Even we are very tiny community, but like I used to tell you that story, a bird sitting on a big tree and it was getting dark and she was thinking where to go because it was getting darkness. He couldn't see that moon. And there was a firefly came by and he offered his support. I am a little insect, but God has given me light. If you believe on me, trust me, I will show you your destination. This is our job there. We are sitting like minority, tiny insects. Like Jesus said, you are the light to the world, and let your light shine upon man. We can't preach openly there. We can't build the church there. But we are just there to be example. Like Jesus said, let your light shine upon men. We are trying to keep the faith of our brothers and sisters who are living in the situation where they are being falsely accused because they are Christian. There is a lot of discrimination there. And a couple of examples I wanted to give you. This is recently, this year happened or happening. A pastor was arrested during a healing prayer service. He was falsely accused of sexual harassment because when they say healing prayer, they just touch the face, the forehead. And a non-Christian and the police conspired against the pastor with these falsehoods. The pastor was then arrested by the police. It's not one pastor. Several things have been there. Christian girls have been kidnapped, raped, and forced to convert to Islam against their wishes. Girls, even minor, have been forced into Muslim marriages. Even though the CEC is small, we continue to doing our best keep God's children from danger in doing the work which our Lord has entrusted to us. When I went back from America, like more than 20 years ago, and in the beginning, I had so many priests there, with 3,000 people, 8-9 priests I used to have, and because there was no fund, I had some project started, which was I didn't keep it up because the funds problem, lack of funds. Now I have two priests, one associated priest, 4 subdeacons, and there are some altar servers. But I have I give blessing to several evangelists, and they are just working there in the tribal area. Now we have the Noel House now, because we can't make announcement that this is the church. And that is an extension, and we call it the Noel House, it means the good news. But this is also after my son's name, because if somebody asked me, this is my son's name. So this is being used for Sunday worship services, conducting the Bible and Holy Eucharist celebration, and other religious functions. The Noel House is in war. We have also different groups which are in Kohat city, Peshawar, Rawalpindi, Naushera, Mardan, Dargai, and Khar. There are not many members. There are 173 members. We live in a compound with 4 young couples and 14 children. A woman with 2 children has also been living in our community. So in total, we have 15 adults and 16 children in the compound. Each Friday, families in the compound take turns to invite the rest of the compound to share the word of God in Bible service. One of our subdeacons conduct the Bible services. So this is a kind of formation, a center for us, where we are keeping these young couple who are married, and we don't tell them whether this is formation center, but we are trying, taking them to the early Christian community, and they are really doing very well so far. Out of this young couple, one would like to be a deacon, so he has we have given him blessing as a sub-deacon now, and there is also one partner wife. So they are very small children, because our children, they are here in the States, and we miss them, but still in the morning when we come out, somebody from here or there are upstairs, because we are sharing our house, our compound there. So they call us Bishop Papa. our big mama. So Maryam is so kind, and she is helping me to serve the people. We are not only limited to our own church, but we pay visits to the other sick people from other churches. People invite us for the blessings of their home and for the memorial services. Not only are we providing support, feeding the soul of many people around us, we also support others. We are currently helping the students and the sick people, the widows. So we are serving the church, which is charismatic, evangelical, sacramental, liturgical, to make visible the kingdom to the nation of the world, to serve the least and the lost and the lonely. Our world is broken by war, ethnic and radical hatred and religious intolerance. We believe that God has called us to a solemn commitment to peace, harmony, and the suffering for our fellow human being. We want to proclaim the message of life and love, not hatred or war. We proclaim forgiveness and compassion. We do not wish to cause violence and provoke revenge, but invoke God's kingdom and peace. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, Paul, St. Paul writes, "You are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ." Yes, we are, even though we have differences. We are American, Pakistani, Asian, black and white, workers and employer, male and female, because we are not only born equal, but different. But we are all one in Christ, as St. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, "You are all one in Christ. Therefore, we rejoice in our work as human beings and in our dignity as sons and daughters of God." So, let us rejoice and sing together. We are one in the Spirit,
we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord.
And they know we are Christians by our love.
Yes, we know
we are Christians by our love.
God bless you.
Peace the Lord be